Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Sunday, November 4th, 2012. This is episode 924.
Enjoy.
The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. To get our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Tech Guy. And by Ring Central. We do everything in the cloud. That's why I love my cloud-based phone system from Ring Central. Zero startup costs, and Ring Central is $20 per month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial. Buy one desk phone, get a second phone free, up to 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. And by Gazelle. The fast and simple way to sell your iPhone, iPad, MacBook, or other smartphone. Find out what your gadget's worth at gazelle.com. Ask Leo. That's the phone number if you want to give me a ring. Got a computer problem. Want a little hand-holding on the information superhighway? 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S., outside the U.S. You just use Skype or something like that. 8888. Ask Leo. Well, I've got my iPad mini here. I'm ready to answer questions about that. Guess what? It's a small iPad. Okay. wasn't that complicated. Do not get the smart cover, though. It's wobbly. It's not a good smart cover. Apple makes such... What do they make on this thing, you think? The folks who do these estimates as to the cost of building these things. And I don't know. Maybe somebody who is into this kind of thing maybe could tell me how accurate they are. iSupply is the name of it. And they estimate that the iPad mini, which they sell for $329 at its base, they estimate that it costs them about $188 in parts. $188 in parts. Is that what they said? Something like that. I wish they'd do a teardown on the case. Because I think that must cost 2 cents, and they charge $40 for it. That's the profit. You know, they'd be smart. What they should do is charge charge cost for the iPad, and everybody's be so impressed. Wow, they got it down to $200. Make a little bit, make a little bit for shipping, and then. And then they make it all back in the little rubber devices they sell, like the bumper case. What could that 2 cents that thing could cost at most? And they sold it for what, $20-$30? I wish iSupply would do a teardown on this piece of plastic. Oh, but wait a minute, Leo, it's got magnets in it. It says on it, designed in California by Apple. So that, you know, that's good, and assembled in China. I think all of these cases are way overpriced, actually. I mean, they're just once you got the, you know, the form right, they're just plastic, right? And and I guess you need them. Piece of plastic. Web7234 in our chat room says he bought his bumper case on eBay, a Chinese knockoff, for 50 pence. So that's a buck, maybe. The latest edition of the iPad family, according to iSupply. Now, see, there's two different companies now that start doing this, and I love this. There's iFixit. Kyle Wiens and iFixit. They take it apart and say how easy it is to fix. And then iSupply tears it down and says, well, that piece cuts that, that piece cuts that. So the base model, a Wi-Fi 16-gig iPad mini, which sells for $329, costs, according to iSupply, as best they could guess, about $188. Add memory, that's where they actually make some big bucks. So Apple's charging about a little more than $100 for an extra 16 gigs of memory, right? $90 for the 32 gig more, and $160 for the 64 gig. But how much does that memory cost them? About $15 per gigabyte, per 16 gigabytes. Wow. Wow. 16 gigabytes of memory goes for $15.50. There's some profit in there. They're making some money in there. Now, of course, they have to give a cut to a Best Buy and the retailers. But that's another place that Apple really was smart, right? Because when they created their own Apple stores, they eliminated the middleman. And they're very careful to make sure that the only way you can, you know, pay, the only price you can pay is the same everywhere. There's very little difference in the Apple stuff. So they make a good living. $16 is what they could sell it for, says Web2233. It costs them even less. And that might be because they're buying it all. They actually cornered the market on this stuff. Meanwhile, Amazon and Google say, we don't want to make money. See, Google and Amazon have a different business model, don't they? They don't need to make money. In fact, Amazon even said it. Jeff Bezos said, we don't want to make money on the device. We want to make money when you use the device. That's why the Kindle HD is $200. Roughly the same. That's why Amazon can charge basically cost, because they make money when you buy it. Google makes money when you use it. Not when you buy it, when you use it for Amazon and Google. Apple has to make the money up front. So, okay, that's why. That makes sense. Just so you know, yesterday I had to make a decision. I review this stuff for a show we do on our website called Before You Buy. The idea is you watch the review before you buy. And I had to decide what my recommendation would be on the iPad mini. We have three recommendations: buy, try, don't buy. And because we want to make it simple, you know, should you buy it? Yes or no. And then I kind of feel I don't like the fact that we put try in there, because try is kind of weaseling out, like, well, you might like it. You should try it. So I don't like to. I never rate anything try. It's either buy or don't buy. And I really went back and forth on the iPad mini, because I'll tell you why. I really like it. And I, you know, what it, to me, this is preferable to an iPad. But there's two things I noted. First, the biggest one is because it doesn't have a Retina display, even though the iPhone, the iPod Touch, and the iPad, the big brother, have Retina displays, that high-resolution display that's so crisp. So for some reason, I'm not sure why, Apple only put a 1028 by 768 display in this 7.9-inch tablet. That means you can see the pixels. You can see the, you know, if you look closely. Even if you don't look closely, you can see. It's not bad. I'm not saying it's ugly, ugly, ugly. It's just that Apple set a standard for something else, and they've gone back a step. And I don't think they had to. I guess that's my point with all of this. I guess to preserve 100% profit, maybe. But they could have put if they put a Retina display in this, and they put a, you'd have to put a faster graphics processor in here, because the Retina display is pushing a lot of pixels. But they could have. They did it. The iPod Touch is $299. Come on. They could have done it. And see, here's what I think. They're going to do it. I think they didn't do it because they want to have something to sell you next year. Same thing with the camera. They have a 5-megapixel camera, same as the iPhone 4 in here. Even though the iPhone 5 and even the 4S have an 8-megapixel camera, they could have put an, that wouldn't have been a, now, I guess because the iPad only has a 5, they didn't want to get better than the iPad, but they should have. But they'll do that next year, or maybe the year after. Retina next year, 8-megapixel camera the year after. Because they got to keep you buying new ones. So even though I love this, in fact, I'm going to Australia tonight, and of course on a 14.5-hour flight, I have to choose a device that's going to keep me going for most of that flight, going to entertain me, and this is it, the iPad mini. It's just the right size. It's smaller, lighter. be easier to carry in my backpack. But I had to give it a don't buy because I feel like there are equally good choices for a lot less money. The Nexus 7 from Google, which they dropped the price on a 16-gig Nexus 7, is $200 compared to the Apple's $329. It's $130 less. It's almost half as much. And it does, and it's pretty much just the same. The only thing missing is a rear-facing camera. They just left the camera off completely. They figured nobody's going to take pictures with this thing. They're probably right, but they have a high-res Retina quality display on it. It's got a lot of the same number of apps. I couldn't recommend the iPad Mini. It was just too expensive. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. What do you think? Call me. Leo Laporte, the tech guy,
88. Ask Leo.
That's the number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion. You want to talk high tech? Next week I'll be here, but the week after, I'm really pleased to say, Mr. Scott Wilkinson will be filling in for me. Scott is our home theater guru, and he's going to spend an entire show answering your questions about home theater. So you can call me and ask me about home theater. I have a little bit of interest in knowledge on that, but the king, the expert, is coming in 2 weeks. Scott Wilkinson, home theater guru. And he's going to stay at my place because he's going to come up here and do it from the Tech Guy Labs. And I prevailed on him to calibrate all my TVs in my home theater while he's in the house. And then I felt bad. And I said, no, you don't have to. The website is Tech Guy Lab, but I hope he does. TechGuyLabs.com. If you want to visit that website, you'll find things like our chat room. You'll find our phone number, of course, which I mentioned, but it's easier maybe to just look at the website, TechGuyLabs.com, and show notes for all 924 episodes. Going way back to January 2004. I've been doing this show longer. I've been doing this show since 1991, but we didn't have tape recorders in those days, so no recordings exist. What we do, it's great. I have this whole team taking show notes because I'm so lazy. So James DeRuffo writes the stuff down as I talk and puts it on the webpage very quickly. That way, if you get home, you know, you've been listening in the car and you say, what was that website Leo talked about? You can go to the website and it'll be there right away because James is so good. And then Josh Windisch here in my office, after that, makes a podcast out of it. We offer that for free also at techguylabs.com. We put the YouTube video up because, yeah, we have cameras in here because I'm so handsome. And then, I don't know why, I'll never understand why people want to watch a radio show, but you can if you want to. And the beauty part here, though, is that YouTube, those clips are up on the website, too. So if you go to a specific question from a specific day, ever since we started doing this, and we just turned this new site on, you can look at the question. You can actually see the question, or listen or see the question being asked in my answer. And then if you've got a comment, I'd love you to add it after the fact. It's certainly good to call a show, and I want you to do that. But it's nice to have it on the website, too, because then we have kind of a long-term a copy of it all. Let's go to the phones, 8888, and that's always free, anytime. 8888, ask Leo. I can't, this call screening is all jumbled up there, Kyle, but I'm going to guess. No, I better not guess.
Line one, Julian.
Okay, line one, Julian, Los Angeles. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Julian.
Good morning, Leo. You know, I went and checked out that new iPad Mini yesterday. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's small. Now, they show in the ads people holding it with one hand, but I think they're using giants.
Yeah, it felt good in my hand. But, you know, here's something strange about it, too. It's the only iPad that has two speakers for stereo. Even the new iPad 4 doesn't have stereo speakers.
Yeah, Amazon had to pull their complaint down because I know the iPad 3 and 4, the iPad 1 had stereo speakers. So did the iPad 2. But at some point they went to a single speaker, probably because they were running out of room inside. And the Mini now has... You're right. Two little speakers. Stereo is being a little generous. I don't think. I mean, the speakers are next to each. I don't think you're going to get much separation. There are two speakers.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll play you some on here. I don't think you're going to. I don't think you're going to wild on the quality of the music. You know, but you know, it's something.
It's kind of cool.
It's nice.
Anyway,
what do you think? Did you buy one?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm still.
You were just shopping.
I'm actually pretty happy be using the iPhone. As a visually impaired person, I don't need the large screen.
Ah.
So for me, the iPhone does fine.
Ah. Yeah, I guess you're right. It wouldn't matter, would it?
Yeah, I mean, and that's not to say, I mean, there's plenty of visually impaired people who love the iPad as well, but just for my needs, I find that I get by with the iPhone, and I like the portability of it. It's just great.
Seth says it's the first iOS device with stereo, so maybe I'm wrong. I was pretty sure the iPad 1 had dual.
The 1 didn't.
It did not. Okay, I'm wrong then. I stand corrected. But, I mean, stereo. What is that? To me, stereo means that it's got a, there's a left and a right. I mean, they're so close together, it's not really stereo.
Right. Well,
it's got two speakers. Whoop-de-doodly. Yeah. So did the Amazon Kindle Fire HD. And the Amazon went on and on about the Dolby sound. It sounded like it didn't even sound as good as a transistor radio. So anyway, okay, go ahead. So now you're visually impaired. You may be paying more attention to audio. Do you think it sounds better?
No, I think it does. I mean, especially when you're relying on a screen reader voice, it's better to have.
That's important, sure. And does it have? So it has more. It's more full frequency.
Yeah, I liked it.
Good.
But speaking of that, I wanted to share with your listeners and invite anybody out there who's either blind or visually impaired or knows somebody who is or just wants to know about how we deal with tech to an event that we put on now. It's our fourth year doing it. It's put on by the Center for the Partially Sighted as well as the National Federation of the Blind San Fernando Valley Chapter. It's called the Best in Tech 2012 Conference, and we're going to hold it at the same place we've held it all along in Culver City at the DoubleTree by Hilton. It's going to be on Saturday, November the 17th, and it goes from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the main thing about this event that really makes it different than other such tech events is that the idea is that we put up a different blind or visually impaired people to come up and speak and give a brief discussion about their favorite assistive technology solution for the year. So there, you know, let's say there's somebody who's thinking about, well, gee, which tablet should I go buy, or which Braille note taker should I get, or et cetera. You can actually go up there and listen to people who talk about these things, people like me who use this stuff every day, give an honest review, if you will, of maybe our opinions of different ones, as opposed to hearing a sales pitch from a company who's vested in trying to get you to buy something.
That's great, Julian. Tell me again where and when.
It is
actually better yet. Is there a website people can go to find out more?
Yeah, I forgot to give that.
Yeah,
it's www.bestintech.info.
www.bestintech.info. Hey, thank you, Julian. Now let me play for you. This is the stereo speakers. Yeah, it sounds pretty good. There's a little bit of bass in there. I'm not sure it replaces my hi-fi, but it's not. That's the iPad mini. Very dramatic. It's a little tinny, but they're stereo. Let's see if we can get Denise in from Santa Clarita. Hi, Denise. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How's it going?
It's good. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, I had a quickie question. Will this be your second trip to Australia?
It will. I went to Tasmania about 3 years ago. That's kind of a part of us. It's a little island, right? Have you been? Have you been before, Denise?
No, I haven't.
I can't wait.
When you were there, you were talking all about it.
Yeah, I sent back a lot of pictures because I was on a photo expedition. I'll tell you what I'm bringing on this trip when we come back. Hang on, Denise. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, I was with Waz. 8888-ASK. Leo, that's the phone number. Somebody asked in the chat room, and I'll pass this along because I think there's an election on Tuesday. I voted already because I'm on a plane. This takes so long to get to Australia. That I'm leaving tonight, and I think I'm flying through election day. Somehow I arrive in Australia Tuesday, even though I'm leaving Sunday night. I guess it's something to do with the international dateline. I know it's very complicated, too technical for me. But I have voted because I had an absentee ballot, and this was a very handy site. And I really, you know, in my mind, we should be the best voters in the world, you know, because we've got the internet. We've got the ability to do research like crazy on every subject, quickly, easily. You don't have to go to the library. You don't have to go to a city hall and ferret it out. And I found that this is a nonpartisan site that is essentially a Wikipedia for elections. They call it an interactive almanac of state politics. You go to Ballotpedia. See, it's like Wikipedia, only ballot instead of wiki. Ballotpedia.com, or I guess it's .org. It's nonprofit. Click your state. You can see all the things you're voting on, members of Congress and stuff. And then what I love, what I really love about it, it's, by the way, the navigation, a little challenging. For instance, in the state of California, we have something like 11 ballot propositions, very complicated, and they're all written in a way to really kind of obfuscate what they're about. So you got to do research before you can vote. You know, my son's voting for the first time, 18 years old, and I want to help him be a good citizen. So I sent him to Ballotpedia. Now, what you got here is all the propositions. You click on a proposition. It will say what the ballot, you know, they have the little ballot pamphlet, what that says about it. The text of the measure, full text, is available. A summary, fiscal impact. Then this is the thing I find very useful. Who gave money to support it? Who's endorsing it? And who gave money? Because it's the money that speaks, right? Who's paying for this and who's paying against it? Then it also gives you, after you see all the money, boy, there's a lot of money. For instance, we have a Proposition 30 that's to raise state taxes. The governor's supporting it in California. $67 million. $67 million of campaign cash raised for, 53 against. It's $120 million for this thing. Wow. And that's just one of 11 propositions. It also then gives you all the editorial opinion, all the different newspapers and what they said, pro and con. It gives you polls, how it's doing, how it got to the ballot, and then tons of external links. This is a great, I would absolutely say nonpartisan, because I disagree with about half of it, right? That means it's nonpartisan. Nonpartisan website, very, very useful. Ballotpedia.org. Ballotpedia.org. So I just wanted to pass that along before the election on Tuesday, give you a chance. It's for all states. This, I was just looking at the California stuff, but it's for all states in the U.S. And you cannot, at least in California, and I would guess this is true in most states, you can't just walk into the booth, the voting booth, and look and say, well, yeah, I agree with that. No, I disagree. Because the way they're written, half the time a yes, no vote is a no vote, and a no vote's a yes vote. We have a proposition in California that is very confusing. Let me see if I can find it here. It's very confusing. It's a vote on the death penalty. And it says, in the ballot, it says, Proposition 34, death penalty, yes or no. Now, you go in the voting booth, you say, well, yes means yes, no means no. No, yes means no, no means yes. Yes means repeal the death penalty. No. See, that's very confusing. And it's that way throughout. So you got to do a little research ahead of time. It's very confusing. 8888 Ask Leo. Denise was on the line. And sorry to interrupt. Denise, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey.
Yeah, my question is, I have an iPhone 5, and I was just wondering if it's worth getting the Apple Plus Care for it.
You know, that's a difficult decision. In general, I don't recommend extended warranties because it's really a profit center for any company, right? You're buying insurance. Mm-hmm. And insurance, it's always carefully calculated to make them money. It's like going to Vegas. But on the other hand, if I say don't buy it and it breaks, you're going to really be mad at me. You're going to say, so it's kind of, as long as you understand what you're getting, it's okay. It's certainly okay. And I often do buy AppleCare. Now, here's a couple of reasons. First of all, they have this new AppleCare Plus that replaces if it's broken, but for any reason, and these phones break really easily because they're made of glass. All smartphones do. But there is a $50 deductible, I think. I mean, there's maybe it's more than that. There's all sorts of, you can only do it a certain number of times a year. And so it may, when you work it out, it may be cheaper. Apple will often replace this for $200. It may be cheaper not to buy it. But I generally do on portable devices because there's, you know, it's just, it's nice. And when you get AppleCare, the nice thing about AppleCare is you get kind of better treatment at Apple. When you go into the Apple store, they just, they're more likely to just swap the phone out quickly. You know, if you got any problems with it, it's just easier. Understand, it's a profit center. They're not giving anything away. You're paying for something, and over the total number of users and the total number of repairs they have to do and the costs, it makes them money. But I think it's probably worth it on an iPhone. I you know, that it's hard for me to say. There's like, go in with open eyes, okay?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, Matt has a related call. Your iPhone screen broke, huh, Matt?
Yeah, I dropped it and the glass exploded and it doesn't work now.
Easy to fix.
It is if you can find the parts.
Don't you fix it. It's not that easy to fix. Well, you could.
I did my other one, so it wasn't that big a deal. But nobody has the screen yet.
No, it's an iPhone. It's a new iPhone.
It's iPhone 5.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. I'd bring it to Apple because, first, they're often, understand the Apple genius, who's the guy you're going to talk to, guy or gal you're going to talk to, has a huge amount of leeway in what they can do. If my daughter broke her iPhone within 2 weeks of buying a new one, no Apple Care, no, I mean, it was her fault as she dropped it, and the guy just gave her a new one. No cost. They're very, they have a lot of flexibility. So it's good to be nice, bring them a box of candy. Well, you don't need to do that. That's a little obvious. But be nice about it. Be honest about it. And they may just swap it since you just got it. You know, sometimes when you go to an ice cream shop and you buy an ice cream cone and you drop it as you go out the door, sometimes a nice ice cream shop will give you a new ice cream cone.
Right. I did call Apple and they offered to replace it for $230.
Yeah. That's the standard replacement fee.
Right. And
you can repair it for less. In fact, since you've done it before, it's just a question of getting the parts. But there are plenty of people now out there because iPhone repair is a big business.
Well, yeah. And apparently they're so backordered on making the 5 that there's no parts available. I was wondering if you or the chat room had any info on like how long that back order log, you know.
Here's what I would do. There's a great website. They have the videos for it. They're the ones that do the teardowns, ifixit.com. And what they do is they give away all this information for free and training videos and how to. And the way they make their money is they're selling you repair kits. And they'll have them before anybody else. Mm-hmm. ifixit.com, they'll have the best idea of when and how, you know, those parts will become available. But you're right. Apple can't make enough iPhone 5s right now. So they, you know, there's no parts floating around. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This show brought to you by Stamps.com. I'm on MissStamps.com. You know, something great about waking up at 2 in the morning and printing out stamps. I'm that nerd. Stamps.com is on-demand postage, and then you call the mailman, and he comes and gets it the next day, or she comes and gets it the next day. I just love it. Stamps.com, do you have a postage meter? Oh, man, I could save you so much. If you're a business and you do mailing of any amount, you know, this is a way to save money, to be more efficient, more effective. Stamps.com has already printed over $3 billion in postage. That's how popular Stamps.com is. All the big companies, all the small companies, many of the small companies use it. Maybe not you. You might want to try it. Why? Well, it's so much more than a postage meter. For instance, if you do express mail or priority mail, click of the mouse, and that email goes out to your recipient. If you're an eBay seller, Amazon, PayPal, Etsy, you know, you sell online and you have to do fulfillment, takes the address and everything right from the website, fills it out, prints a label, looks pro, puts your logo on it, and the postage. Print right on the envelope if you're mailing envelopes out. Take your address book from QuickBooks or your address book on your computer. I mean, they can even do international mail with Stamps.com. So if you've been kind of saying, I don't want to sell internationally because it's too much trouble, Stamps.com fills out the forms and everything. Here's the deal. Go to Stamps.com right now. Now you'll see an $80 no-risk trial, which is a great deal. But I think we can do a little better than that. This is the Easter egg. Click the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner. See that cool fin mic? And enter in the offer code TECHGUY, two words, TECHGUY, and you'll get more free postage, $110, no-risk trial, $110. Wow, $55 in postage coupons. You get the digital scale, which I really like. I never have to guess at postage, a $5 supply kit and a four-week trial. Stamps.com, offer code TECHGUY, try it today. I think you'll find it just wonderful. And, you know, after a month, if you don't like it, keep the scale. No charge. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Boy, I tell you, did you see Disney bought Lucasfilm? I thought that was kind of interesting. I think, you know, some of the Star Wars fans were a little bit worried. When it happened, there was a little freak out. But you know what happened? George wanted to retire, basically. And even though George is, I don't think, a big fan of Disney, really. But he thought, hey, $4 billion. And more importantly, I think, to George, he's giving Star Wars and Raiders and, you know, to somebody who's going to make more movies. And Disney's done a good job, I thought, with Marvel, right? They bought Marvel. They've really made that franchise sing. Brought in great directors like Christopher Nolan. Wouldn't it be great to see a Star Wars directed by Christopher Nolan? You know, Star Wars, The Dark Side. I think, I think it's pretty exciting. People in up here in Marin County, where the ranch is, Lucas Ranch, are real excited. they feel like this is going to, and of course Lucasfilm itself is based at the Presidio in San Francisco, and I think owns it, so it's unlikely that they'll move it to Burbank. So it's good for good for the local economy in Northern California. I think it's going to be good for Star Wars, and I think it's going to be great for Raiders. They've already said they're going to make new Star Wars movies starting in 2015. I want to see, this is my dream, because, you know, they own Marvel, so they have, you know, they did the Avengers, they have the Hulk, and now they own Star Wars. I would like to see, remember at the end of the Avengers, where the Hulk kind of goes crazy and slams the guy back? I think I would like to see the Hulks take Jar Jar Binks by the ears and slam him back and forth. Now, that would be a movie, just that, for 2 hours. Hulk angry! He's so happy! I think that's what I want to see. Mark in Bristol, Tennessee. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Leo.
Hey.
How's it going today?
I'm good. How you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Hey, I bought a refurbished laptop about a year and a half ago. It's performed very well for me. And I've, you know, over the year, I probably downloaded some programs and things like music programs and that kind of thing. All of a sudden, everything is kind of slowed down on it as far as like YouTube videos and things like that are skipping, and I'm not able to watch anything streaming, you know. So
yeah, but that could just be the internet. Is anything else slowing down?
It does seem like my just generally loading the Google page, you know, I use Google Chrome.
Okay, but that's the internet again. How about I don't know, you play video games? Are those not working right?
No video games.
What I'm trying to do is narrow it down. If your internet got bad, this would all make sense, right? Might not be the computer at all. Maybe your internet connection's just bad.
Well, I've contacted the internet company. They've sent me a ping out there, you know.
They say, it's fine. It's not us. Must be your computer. It's hard to narrow down, and especially because slow can mean so many things. A buffering video does not mean a slow computer. It means a slow internet connection. Google not popping up doesn't mean a slow computer. It means a slow internet connection. So that's what I'm trying to narrow it down. So is there anything you do with a computer? This is a problem, is that nobody uses a computer for anything but internet these days. Is there
that's
a game would tell you, because a game is not online. And if it's slow, then it would mean that the computer itself is slowed down. But from what you're telling me so far, It doesn't sound like it's necessarily the computer. It could just be your internet connection.
Okay. Yeah, I've done some. I've limited the startup programs, and I've deleted my.
Again, you're fixing stuff that's not broken necessarily. Have you? Is it a laptop or a desktop?
No, it's a laptop.
Yeah, I'd go somewhere else. See if it's faster.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Because if it's your internet connection, fixing your config.sys isn't going to do anything. Who are you getting your internet from? Is it cable or DSL?
It's cable.
Cable. Cable can get slow. You know what happens with cable? It's interesting. I have cable, too, at home. We have a mix here in the studios for redundancy's sake. But all of a sudden, everybody's watching Netflix at night. You know, starting about 6 p.m., my cable used to really slow down because everybody's watching Netflix. 40% of all internet traffic in primetime is people watching Netflix now. And everybody's drawing so much bandwidth. Now, the way the cable system works is they provide a certain amount of bandwidth to what they call the head end, which is your neighborhood connection. And then everybody in your neighborhood uses that bandwidth. So it's shared. It's close to you where it's shared. And it's possible if you live in a residential area.
I do.
Yeah. Possible.
I do. It's not real populated. I live in
all right. Well, that's good. But it really is dependent because the cable company might have said the same thing. Well, there's hardly anybody here. We'll just give them a little bitty bit of bandwidth, and then everybody who is there uses it. It's very dependent on how it's implemented. If you notice, it's worse in the evening and better in the when people are at work. That would be an indicator.
No, not necessarily.
It's bad all the time, huh?
It's just bad all the time now.
There, you can go to a site called speedtest.net. This is not really a great way to figure out if you have an overall problem because it's just a snapshot at any given moment. But you could do it a few times throughout. And your speed is normal?
Well, it's my upload speed is faster than my download speed.
Really? Your upload is faster than your download?
Right.
That doesn't sound right. What are you getting?
I'm getting let me go back here. It was a really funky number. It was like
that. Sounds 50. Like you, yeah. That's normally everybody has what we call asymmetric internet. The download's faster than the upload. The download should be faster than the upload. If your upload's faster than your download, sounds like something's wrong with your download speed, and that would certainly mean YouTube videos at buffer. You'd have all those problems. You should also pay attention to what you're doing other places on your network. I mean, you can have congestion even within the house. You got a kid downloading movies. You know, if three of you are watching Netflix in the house, that can impact it as well. So it does sound like it is not your computer. It could be, but it doesn't sound like it's your computer, especially since your download is slower than your upload. Sounds like something's wrong with your download. Now, I know your internet service provider denies it. And that makes it hard. Now you got to go to the cable company, and boy, I know how it is. Cable company's not super responsive. You got to find a nice person there and say, hey, tell them what you just told me. That might help them. They might want to give you a new cable modem. You axum for DOCSIS 3, DOCSIS and 3. That's the latest version of the cable interface, and it's much better, much faster. And sometimes if you have an older cable modem, it's not DOCSIS 3, it might be DOCSIS 1 or 2, or they might have you on a DOCSIS 1 or 2 switch at the company. And if you can get onto a DOCSIS 3 switch with a DOCSIS 3 cable modem, that should make a difference. By the way, same as you going somewhere else and seeing how the computer is, you could also try another computer on your network, see if it's slow. Your route, so look at your network is what I'd say. Look at your router, your cable modem. Look at the cabling. Make sure you don't have a bunch of splitters off of that. You could be reducing the signal that you're coming into your cable modem. A lot of things like that. I think you've got a good diagnostic there that you can approach them with and say, hey, the upload's faster than the download. What gives? Leo LaPorte, the tech guy, 888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number.
you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, I'd love to hear from you.
888-827-5536. It's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. Outside the U.S., just use Skype out. I'd love to hear from you. 888-827-5536. So, Apple Computer and Samsung, you know they're battling it out, and they lost. Apple won in the U.S., Samsung lost. $1 billion judgment against Samsung for stealing Apple's ideas. But it's not gone the same in other countries. For instance, in the United Kingdom, a court ruled that Samsung's tablets don't copy the iPad. And furthermore, Apple needed to post an apology for saying so on their website. Wow, that's a different result. So Apple did. But the court said, that's not enough. It says, you got to do this over again. The UK Court of Appeal admonished Apple, saying you were non-compliant with our order to apologize. Apparently, they added additional text to the apology. And mentioning, incidentally, the wins in the U.S. and Germany. And the UK court said, no, I'm afraid not. That one judge said, I can't believe Apple would do this. And then said, and then the judges said, we'll fix it. And Apple said, well, it'll take 14 days. It'll take 2 weeks because, you know, it's so hard to fix a website. It's going to take 2 weeks. So finally, the court really threw the book at him. And Apple has put a corrected version of the apology now on apple.co.uk. But they put some JavaScript in there. Now, you'd only know this if you were kind of geeky, but they put some JavaScript in there that made sure that there was no way you'd see that apology unless you scrolled all the way to the bottom of the page. Wow. It's like a little kid. I didn't do it. It's really like a little kid. He did it. Samsung lost in the U.S., you know. Apologize to your brother. I'm sorry, but you still stink. No, that's not enough. Apologize. I'm going to go stand over here and apologize in a very tiny voice in the corner. Oh, man. You know, we should just get rid of this patent, all this patent lawsuit stuff. It's not helping anybody. It's not helping anybody. It's just such a waste of time. And it's a waste of money that would be put into innovation if people weren't just suing each other. Lori in Austin, Texas. Sorry to have to put you on hold for so long. Thank you for your patience. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Lori. Oh, let me. I didn't press the button right.
I got it.
You got it. Thank you, Kyle. Hey, Lori.
Hi, Leo. Such a pleasure to talk to you. Oh, it was fun when you were here live at Momo's about a year and a half ago for South by Southwest.
Oh, that was so much fun. Did you come to that?
Oh, you betcha, up front.
That was a great event. Yeah. That was a year and a half ago now.
Yep. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
I love Austin. Well, I'm so glad. I hope I got a chance to meet you.
Yeah. I'm Tech Chick Lori.
Oh, hey, I know who you are. Okay, good. Now I remember. Yeah, Tech Chick Lori. I needed the Tech Chick or I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm a personal geek here in my little corner of Austin. And I have a client she's quadriplegic. And she'd like to get a smartphone, you know, so she can be a little more independent. You know, I know iOS and Android, they're pretty good, you know, when it comes to the visually impaired. But now we're talking about somebody now with really limited mobility. I mean, she can move her arm a little bit enough to kind of operate her wheelchair.
Right.
She has a motorized wheelchair.
Does she use a stick? Or, I mean, can she type? What is
she? She uses a stick. She can kind of move her arm. She doesn't have any.
So she can type with a stick, a mouth stick?
Finger. Well, she actually can kind of move her arm.
With her hand a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, to get the wheelchair to move. She did tell me they have a stock that they can put with her head. I guess she could activate Bluetooth.
Yes, that's often the case. They put a stock on their head, and they can tap things. And so, both iPhone and Android phones have dictation that let you do things like call. You know, there's Siri on the iPhone, but even before there was Siri, there were voice commands that would say you could call somebody. Siri's, you know, Siri might be actually fantastic for her. They've added a lot of features. It's interesting because if you get an iPhone, you've got Siri, and then Google has put in into its Google search. They're so competitive with one another. The Google app on iOS has Google's own version of Siri now, and you can do many of the same things in its app. And I guess the idea was, well, let's show people what's available on Android. So if you get an iPhone, you get both, in effect. You get the capabilities of a Google. You can dictate and all that stuff in the Google search app. And you get iPhone Siri. So for most of what she would want to do, I think it would work.
Yeah, it's just a matter of my only concern, which is how she's actually activating all of this without physically touching the phone.
Ah, well, you have to do that. And can she launch an app on the phone?
Well, she doesn't even have one yet, so it's a matter of phone.
So it would be a question of, now, certainly a thing to recognize is that these touch screens are capacitance touch. You can't touch them with a stick. You can't use a stylus on them. It doesn't do anything because it's using electrical conductivity in your finger, which is why, by the way, you can use things like a cheese stick or a sausage, which I've used, both of which I've used. I know it's a little weird, but I was just curious because I want, you know, scientific method knows no boundaries. I wanted to know what it was. So it's not a physical human figure. It's just something moist. But a stylus doesn't do anything. You can't do anything. You need, now she could get, and there are a number of companies that make these, a capacitance stylus.
Yeah, I don't know if she would be able to manipulate it.
Well, and that's part of the problem with capacitive styluses. They need to be held because it's still getting, it's still coming. I guess if she held it in her mouth, she could use it.
Yeah, there's the Bluetooth. I mean, I've got Bluetooth in my car. I just press a button.
Yeah, Bluetooth is another way. You could push a, she could, if she had a Bluetooth headset, if she could engage it. There may be an assistive technology designed for this purpose. Because what you need to do with Siri is obviously press the home key, right? And hold it.
Yeah.
And you can do that with a Bluetooth headset just by, you know, pressing the button on the Bluetooth headset. They're designed to trigger Siri. So.
Okay. Where the stock with the Bluetooth then would come in.
Oh, it is? Okay, that's a Bluetooth stock. Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, well, she would really get one. I guess they're out there. My expertise is not in this area. So apparently they do have that. So,
yeah. You know, Lori, I would look for an independent living resource center in your area or an area that has a place that has expertise in adaptive technologies because they solve these problems all the time. And they... I'm sure Austin has a number of places like that. In fact, if somebody's in Austin and knows, you can call us or leave a message or email Leo at techguylabs.com. I'm sure there is a way for her to do this. Now, most of the time, people like Stephen Hawking uses a computer, not a phone. And it would be, or an iPad. You know, an interesting choice would be an iPad. The iPad has touch targets. A lot of people who have... disabilities or autistic kids too use these, where you can actually say things by touching the iPad. Seems like they're...
Well, she can speak okay. She uses Dragon with her PC and her Mac.
So she is used to dictation. That's neat. I don't know. It's a really great question. Let's see if we can find an answer for you, Lori. Keep listening. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It is the hottest topic in business today. And you know what the hottest topic in my business today is? It's Ring Central. That's what the hottest topic in my business is. It's our phone system. For business, this is a big deal. You know, I'm such a doofus. I never had a business before, so I didn't think. When we were at the cottage, everybody was using their cell phone. Thought that was fine, right? You know, that's all you need to use. But then we get to the... Brickhouse, I got 25 employees, and I can't really, Lisa says, you know, you can't make people use their cell phones. That's not okay. So I said, well, what do we do? Do we get a PBX in the basement? Do we call the phone company? That's what they would have done, put a big old computer in the basement and with, you know, those cards for each phone. And fortunately, Russell, cooler heads prevailed. Russell Tammany, our IT guy from Exponentia, said, I've used Ring Central with a number of clients. They love it. What about it? Cloud-based telephony. No PBX. It's all in the cloud. And we got it. It was very affordable, $20 per user per month. And we're loving it a year and a half in. Couldn't be happier. If you are installing a phone system in your business, you got to look at RingCentral. They got a special offer for you right now, which I really like. If you buy one phone, they'll give you another phone free, up to 20 phones. Now, that is really a good deal. Also, a 30-month risk-free trial. 30-day. Did I say 30-month? That would be a little too much. 30. A month should be enough to tell. 30-day risk-free trial. I'll tell you what. Here's what you do. Call 800-543-9980. 800-543-9980. Or go to ringcentral.com. And use the promo code TWIT. RingCentral.com. Promo code TWIT. This was a great one of the... I'm really glad to advertise for this because it's one of the things we did right. We did a lot of things right here. But the phone system we haven't thought about. We haven't had to think about it. A new employee comes in. We plug in the phone. We get a phone from him. Plug him in. Add him to the phone tree. It's very easy to do that all online. And boom, just like that. They get their faxes to their email. You can send faxes. We got rid of the fax machine. We had a fax machine. I don't know. We got rid of that. RingCentral.com. Try it. Free for 30 days. Use our offer code TWIT or call 800-543-9980. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. IT8, ask Leo. That's the number. 888-827-5536. Nick in Los Angeles. We never did solve that problem. If anybody has a good suggestion for a quadriplegic, has some slight movement in the hand, wants to use Siri or some other way to dial the phone on a smartphone and talk to it and dictate. She's already using Dragon. I think if you've got a stick, all you have to do is press and hold that home button to kick off Siri. That's going to be enough, I think. We'll keep working for you, Lori. Meanwhile, Nick in Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I had a question. So I know you talk about backing up and that you talk about, you know, three levels of backing up, two local, one offsite. And just to set you up, I'm a photographer and I have a lot of working files. And obviously, you know, I deal with lots of large files and things like that. And I really wanted to talk to you about a good system to kind of, you know, backing up system where I can deal with large files. Right now, my offsite, I use Dropbox, but I'm now fully filling up my Dropbox, and I need kind of a
Dropbox is cool and neat and everything, but it's not a professional solution, as you're figuring out. And there's issues with it. You know, I used to use Dropbox to send commercials to the radio station, and then the guy would delete them, and it deletes it on both sides.
Right.
You know, this thing like that. That just you go, gee, that's not the best way to do this. So your pictures, we're going to treat them as vital. First of all, as any photographer should visit a website called dpbestpractices.org, digitalphotographybestpractices.org. Mm-hmm. My friend Peter Krogh, who is the author of the digital asset management book, the DAM book, mm-hmm. did this with the ASMP, the Association of Professional Photographers, whatever it is. And it is a bunch of stuff on workflow. But he also talks, in fact, his DAM book would be probably a good book to read, although I don't know when it was updated last, and things change rapidly in this field. But it'd probably be a good, it's dpbestflow.org. I gave you the wrong URL, dpbestflow.org. It's Digital Photography Workflow. Library of Congress funded this because they reasonably believe that that digital photography is the archival history of America, isn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. every picture, you know, millions of pictures taken every minute. And this is, you know, if they're preserved properly, they're just going to be a history for years to come. So I understand why the Library of Congress cared. They're also saving all the tweets. Might be of yeah. Might be a little bit of less value. So I'll tell you what I you obviously have a backup, you know, some system that you're using near term, right? Because if you
What do you mean? Like,
well, what are you? You're backing up somehow. Besides, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, I have, right now, I obviously save locally on my computer. Then I have a hard drive that I back up locally. And then I was, copying everything to my Dropbox, so I kind of had something offsite.
Dropbox is fine, except it's it's expensive. 100 gigabytes is $100 a year. I mean, it adds up.
It's good too because with the new Dropbox, which you can do there, you can basically, instead of sharing a folder, you can just send someone a download link.
That's nice, and now it's thumbnails too, right? I think they do a nice layout, don't they? Like a slideshow layout.
What?
I think they do a slideshow layout if it's pictures, don't they?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
So I'm at the point now where the Dropbox solution isn't really a solution.
So let's get a little more serious, in other words.
Yeah.
So here's what I would suggest. First of all, we want to do something that's a little more affordable. These are large files. You're saving. So a couple of issues. One is backup, but the other sounds like you want to use it for sharing with clients and other people, right?
Yeah. And then I'm working on I'm editing these files too. So there's, I'm actually working on these files as opposed to just, dumping them someplace.
Here's what I would suggest, and it's actually something I use. It's called SmugMug. Are you familiar with SmugMug?
I've heard of it.
So what SmugMug does is two things. First of all, it is a portfolio. It's a way to show your pictures and sell them. They do very, very high quality printing at all formats, large sizes, and so forth, and you take a cut. So it's a marketplace. But they also, because they're designed for professional photographers, they also have a backup solution that backs up to Amazon's S3 storage. And so all your RAWs get saved to Amazon S3.
Oh, wow.
Now, you pay for that. S3 is not free, so you have to pay for... But S3 is relatively economical, and you only pay for what you use. SmugMug is not free either. In fact, they're like a couple hundred bucks, a year, something like that. If you're using it for a portfolio, $150 a year, $20 a month. If you're a business, if you're a pro, and you probably would be if you're selling photos and stuff, $300 a year. Believe me, it's worth it. That does not include the backup. Then you'll pay S3 backup fees. But it's all done automatically. There's SmugMug plugins for Lightroom and Aperture, so it's all kind of automatic. So it becomes part of your workflow. So
okay.
Do you use Lightroom?
A little bit. I've just started using it. I'm still trying to figure out how that kind of incorporates into kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah. See, so I'm giving you a whole workflow solution, but I think this is a good solution. I know a lot of professional photographers very commonly used. So you import the photos, you use Lightroom to rate them, to grade them, to pick which ones you like, then to do retouching, which you can also, Lightroom's from Adobe, so it works with Photoshop. You could even use Adobe's Photoshop Bridge.
Bridge is usually what I use.
Lightroom is like Bridge. In fact, it uses the same camera raw importer and all of that stuff. If you're using Bridge, that's fine. I would bet there's a Bridge plugin for SmugMug, but if not, it might be worth getting Lightroom. I think Lightroom is invaluable. And then with Lightroom,
I bought Lightroom just because I knew people used it.
Yeah.
Never really, learned it. So.
It's a couple of $100. It's not, you don't have to learn much to use it. You can use it just like you're using Bridge, but you can add this SmugMug capability. So you can say, okay, these are the pictures I like, everything rated 5 stars or above, upload those to SmugMug to this album and then save the raw, upload the JPEGs to SmugMug and then save the raw to S3. And now that's a great solution. Now you're protected all around.
Oh, that's great.
It's not that's cheap. Really great. But it's not hugely expensive, and if you're a pro, this is part of the business, right?
I mean, I don't mind paying a little, investing if it's something that I can grow with and that works.
I think better than cobbling together a solution using consumer stuff like Dropbox. This would be a better solution. Amazon's S3 is, there are other solutions like this that use S3. Jungle Disk and things like that, but I think this is the best way because it ties in the ability to share. And by the way, you can share them with passwords. The sharing capabilities on SmugMug are great. You can use the formatting from your own website to, if you go to leoville.com, which is my personal site, and you go to my pictures page, you're actually looking at a Smug Mug page. It looks just like Leoville because I imported over the formatting. So they host my photos on Leoville. Works great. I love it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Terry in El Cajon, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Leo. How's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
Not bad. I got a question for you. I get bombarded a lot of times by a lot of these companies that are trying to sell me something. I had somebody on the phone. I was trying to get tech support, and they said I had a bad registry, and they scanned it.
Oh, no.
The thing about it is, after they got it all done, the first thing they said, well, it's going to cost you $110, and are these people legitimate?
No, where'd you find these people? No. Never, ever let anybody touch your computer remotely.
Okay. No, that's what I was trying to find out.
Yeah. This is at best, a ripoff. At worst, a hack.
Uh-huh. So should I take it to somebody locally and say...
They already did remote access into your machine?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're probably messed up. I would use a stronger word, but it's international broadcasting. The Federal Communications Commission. So how did this happen? Did they call you?
I called tech support, which I thought was my tech support, and all of a sudden they popped up. I thought I was talking to somebody.
Well, maybe you were. How did you get this number? Your tech support, what do you mean?
I clicked on it when I was on the computer.
Oh,
and it came up.
Okay, so here's the scam. They put a pop-up on your window because you browse to a website, and, you know, they find websites that they can hack. Then they hack them. And then they put pop-ups when you visit that website that say something like, what did it say? You have a virus? You have problems?
I can't even remember what it said on it.
Yeah, it said something that scared you, probably.
Probably. Well, it was just my computer. Sometimes it seems to me like it's running slow. It could be the speed on the internet.
Yeah, they go, oh, your computer's slow. We can fix it. The idea is the more they scare you, the more likely you will act without thinking.
Uh-huh.
So what their goal is to get you go, oh, my gosh, click that button. And then you do, and then they go, oh, yeah. Hello, we are here to help. Please let me access your computer. And you say, okay. And then they fix your registry. Well, golly, I wonder what fixes they applied.
That I don't know.
Yeah. So here's what they could have done. Put a Trojan horse on there that logs all keystrokes, sends it back to the home base. They collect your passwords, your financial records, your credit card numbers. How long has this been going on?
It's only been about, I think, a week. But they also, there's an advertisement that comes up that you can buy the software to, you know, clean your registry or whatever.
Yeah, they've compromised your computer. It's unknown. You didn't give them any money yet.
No, that's the first thing I thought. I said, no, I can't afford that kind of money.
Right.
I mean, I'm retired, and I'm not going to spend that kind of money, especially over the internet.
Right. So, like I said, the best case is they just take money from you. The worst case is they've infested your computer.
Uh-huh.
It's good that your warning bells went off because they may well have stuff on your computer that you don't know. They may not, too. You know, I can't tell. But what you've done is you've given a stranger the keys to the kingdom, and now you're relying on their trustworthiness. And we don't know them from Adam. I don't know who these guys are.
I don't either. That's the reason I was wondering, should I tell you to somebody?
I would. Yeah, if you know somebody good and say, you know, often, you know, the best place is a kid, a computer wizard down the street, but if you've got a good store somewhere and you take it to them and you explain what happened and just say, hey, could you, you know, you can run an antivirus scan. In fact, it might be a simple thing for you to do just to kind of set your mind at ease is run an antivirus scan and see if there's anything on there.
Well, I've got ESET, which...
Oh, good. So run that scan. That's good. Now, the problem is no software is going to protect you if you give somebody permission to modify your system.
Yeah.
In fact, I would guess, you might check, ESET's not running anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the first thing. Okay, so if I'm this guy, first thing I do is turn off the antivirus. And I do it in a way that you don't know it's off.
Yeah. That's something I'll never do again.
Yeah. Well, no, you've learned. And, you know, I wish this is so common now. And The problem is computers are so complicated that people feel lost, and so they don't really know, you know, what to do. And so somebody, you know, something pops up on your screen. I don't blame you. The reaction is, well, that sounds bad. I better fix it. So yeah. I don't know. I don't want to terrorize you. I don't. It may be completely benign. Doesn't sound like it. But I don't know what they're, you know, maybe it was a legitimate tech support company and $100 isn't that much. And they just, you know, when they say, what did they, there are certain keywords to listen for. Like they'll get you to launch the something that is a, what's a log, an event viewer, log event viewer. And they'll say, well, you see all those red X's. That's bad news. That's something going on. Yeah. Did they do anything like that?
I believe so, because they were saying, okay, this is the problem. Well, they did a scan. So
and they said, oh, I see. Did they say, I see what the problem is?
Yeah, we can fix that, plus we will fix everything else.
My hope is that all they wanted was to get $100 out of you.
Yeah. Well,
and they didn't put anything on there, but it does sound a little dodgy. You can, yeah. There's another check you can run. It's called the Microsoft Malicious Software Removal Tool. If you run Windows Update regularly, you have an updated version of that.
Oh, yeah. I run Windows every chance I get.
Good man.
He said a lot of times if the color changes on the logo on there,
it'll let you know.
Automatically go to Windows and update.
Good man. I like that. So
the first thing.
Yeah, I'm so glad you have that on there. So the first, yeah. You could, this is another quick check you to do. Click the start button. Or actually the easiest thing to do is a window, is it Windows D chat room? I can never remember. You're going to get a command line and you're going to type M. RT, Microsoft Removal Tool, MRT, and hit return. M-R-T. Yeah, you're going to, and WinR, I'm sorry. Thank you for run. Thank you, Bill. So hit Windows key R, type MRT and run it, and then do a thorough scan. That is not an antivirus, but Microsoft realized that, you know, people are getting malware all over their systems. That will at least give you some idea if any common malware is on there. It's always a possibility the guy's doing something unique that,
yeah,
that can't be detected.
No, like I said, I've already had my laptop ended up crashing on me, and I had to have that redone. So,
well, if you got a good guy, shouldn't cost you too much. If you explain what happened, he'll do a quick check for you.
Okay, I'll do that, because like I said, these guys did that, and when it crashed, they updated it, went to Windows 7, although my desktop still has Vista on it. So I just want to be sure that I don't like to deal with somebody I can't see face to face.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, my general policy is when somebody calls me on the phone and tries to offer me something or sell me something, even if it's somebody legitimate, I just say, I don't do that over the phone. I'll go to your website and make a donation or whatever. I don't want to encourage telephone solicitation. So I just say no.
Well, that's one of the reasons I screen my calls. And if they're trying to sell me something, first thing they do is they'll hang up.
They're out there, aren't they? They're crazy. They're just all over the place. I get calls all the time.
I actually had one time I forgot and didn't turn off my printer on fax. And I started getting advertisements through my fax.
Junk fax. And that's illegal, but go ahead and try to stop them.
Yeah.
They're like roaches. They're like cockroaches. You can't stop them.
It surprised me because I thought, I haven't been printing anything.
Oh, no. It's amazing. And it's totally illegal. It's totally illegal, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, not to them. I mean, half the time, they're not even here in the country.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, okay. I really appreciate your help. Like I said, I was a little bit leery, and this is the first time I've ever called or had a reason to call you, but I'm glad that you...
Terry, I'm really glad you called. I really appreciate it. Good luck, guy. Thanks. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
If you should get any mail with the subject stinky cheese, for taking a chance, under no circumstances should you open.
I wish the subjects were like stinky cheese, but they're not. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number, 888-827-5536. That's the number. Toll free anywhere in the U.S., outside the U.S. I'd love to hear from you. I'm going to be in Australia, Sydney, Australia. I'm leaving tonight and I'll be there Tuesday. In fact, we're having a meetup. If you're in Sydney, and I know we have listeners in Australia, believe it or not. If you're in Sydney, Australia, come to our meetup Tuesday night, 7. I know it's the Melbourne Cup. So you're all going to be a little bit happy, but that's okay. It'll be a fun meetup, 7:30 p.m. at Hart's Pub in the Rocks in Sydney. Don't know what that means. I'm told it's well known. Hart's Pub in the Rocks in Sydney, Australia, 7:30 p.m. And I'll bring some t-shirts and some pictures. And I'll just be the one in the corner all alone with the t-shirts and pictures. And I'll give them away. I won't charge you for them. And then we're going to Brisbane 2 days later. But I don't know if we're planning anything in Brisbane because I have to go see some koalas. So I don't know. I think I might be kind of busy. I don't know. But do come say hi. And now I'm trying to figure out all the little tricks and doodads about it, using my phones there. Boy, it's expensive to do international data, but you got to do it. Otherwise, it costs you a lot. So I'm bringing an iPhone 5, a Verizon iPhone 5. I'm going to have the global data on that. I'm bringing a Galaxy Note 2 from Samsung Galaxy Note 2. That's on AT&T. And I just bought the maximum amount of data I could get, which I think was 800 megabytes. That's not much. I'm just going to have to be very careful. Very careful. Denny Crane. Hey, Denny. He's in our chat room. He says he's going to Australia. He's going to use it. He's going to get a little MiFi card, a Telstra Pocket Wi-Fi, 5 gigs of data for $79. That's a good deal. I'll probably get one of those. Going to be on a boat, though. You know, most of that stuff doesn't work on a boat. You have to buy the boat data. Cruise ship data is even worse. They don't charge you by the gigabyte. They charge you by the minute. And it's really slow. Sydney is on the line, but not from Sydney, Australia, from Irvine, California. Hi, Sydney. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome. Nice to talk to you again. What can I do for you?
Just want to tell you quickly, I was in Australia a couple of years ago, and one great thing to do is to go and walk on the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
I am going to do that. We get in at 8 in the morning. I know it's expensive. There's there's like a 2-hour one and there's a 4-hour one.
Yeah.
Should I do the long one?
Yeah, they take you right over the bridge. You go right to the top of the bridge.
Oh, I want
to
do that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be jet lagged, exhausted, cross-eyed. I'll probably fall off, but I'm doing it anyway.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you for the advice. No, that looked like the best thing to do in Sydney. I want to do that, yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. So here's my question for you. I have a Droid Bionic Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 days ago, I got this note on my phone that there was a chance to upgrade the operating system, the Android operating system. And I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And I think it loaded Ice Cream Sandwich.
Yes.
And
good.
Besides the fact that it took me a little while to get used to it, it has destroyed my battery life.
Oh, no.
And I went into Verizon, and they had a look, and they said, yeah, turn off your GPS, and turn off your Bluetooth, and turn off
your... Yeah, but that's... Yeah, you don't... Don't use the phone, and the battery life's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that I used to do prior to Ice Cream Sandwiches, I would actually turn off 4G when I didn't need it, and that would really preserve my battery
life. Yeah, 4G is really bad. 4G will use up battery like crazy.
And you can't do that. I can't do that on Ice Cream Sandwiches.
Really?
So I'm getting maybe half a day's worth of... If I don't plug my phone in within a half a day, it dies.
Wow. That's terrible. Ice Cream Sandwich should improve your battery life, as does Jelly Bean. I mean, that's one of the things, one of Google's goals when they update Android is to make battery life better. Now, I don't know what Motorola's done with it. Remember, at first, Google has its hands on Android, and then it sends it off to the carriers. They modify it. Then it gets sent off to the handset manufacturers. They modify it. By the time you get it, it may well be that it's very strange, for instance, that they turned off the ability to turn off 4G. That's absolutely a critical ability. It would be my guess that was neither Motorola nor Google. That was your carrier.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah, I bet you Verizon said, we don't want you to use anything but 4G. So you might try, and this is a pain, but you might try a factory reset on the phone. That's going to lose all your data, but, you know, back it up and restore it.
Right.
That often fixes these issues. It's anytime you upgrade an operating system, doing it in place is always less desirable. I know it's a huge pain.
If I do a factory reset, is that going to bring me back to my original operating system?
No. It brings it a pure ice cream sandwich experience.
Oh, okay.
You just bought it with ice cream sandwich on it.
Okay.
And then you'll log in and download your stuff from Google, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a pain in the butt. I do it fairly frequently. But in this case, it's generally recommended.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like my only option. In fact, my son actually recommended that as well.
I hate, and if it doesn't still, then the Bionic, the Bionic is a little bit older. You can go to, if you really want great battery life, the Droid Max is amazing. The new one has a great screen, really the M. I think it's the, I can't remember the designation, but the battery life is much better.
And
I like it a lot. Now, the Galaxy Note, which I have, is like 18 hours, but I still always buy an extra battery.
Right.
Because that's one of the advantages of an Android phone. I don't know about the Bionic. Can you put a new battery in the Bionic?
Yes, you can.
That's one of the advantages of Android over an iPhone is at least you can open it up and put a new battery in. So I usually get two or three batteries for my Android phones. And then that way I carry them with them. On the plane, I got a 14.5-hour flight tonight. I've got three Note batteries. That should get me through it. No problem.
All
right. The Droid Razor Max with two X's HD. Amazing battery life. That's the best one out there.
Okay. Can I ask you one more quick question?
Certainly.
My son, who is a huge fan of you, of yours, as I tell you, is actually going to be going over to Europe to study.
Fantastic.
And what would be the best international phone for him? We're on a Verizon plan and the best kind of data plan.
The iPhone 5 is a good, if he's going to stay on Verizon. When my daughter went to France to study for a year, I gave her just an unlocked GSM phone and said, buy a SIM card in France. And that's what she did. I also, and I do recommend this, got a Skype account for him and paid, at the time it was $99 for unlimited calling from Skype. And I said, whenever you're going to call us, don't call us on the phone. Use Skype.
Yep.
And that was great. I saved all the videos. I have her, every call she made, we had all these great video calls, maybe 100 video calls over the year. And I saved them all. It was wonderful. I have this great record of her trip to France, in effect, because we use Skype. And it was really great. It was a way of really feeling like, even though she was far away, she was a junior in high school. It was very difficult for me emotionally, but at least I got to talk to her and see her. So that would be one way to do it. But if you want to get a Verizon phone for him, I think the best international phone Verizon makes now is the iPhone 5 because it's GSM. It has a unlocked GSM SIM card. So so he can get to Europe and he could put in a European SIM and still have a Verizon phone.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fantastic. And data, what about data?
That's why you want to get a local SIM card. There's no good way to get data overseas because it's just so expensive. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm buying an international data plan for Australia. It's outrageous.
Oh, okay.
So what you'll if he wants to do data on his smartphone, he should absolutely get a local SIM.
Okay. No, that's what he'll do. No, that's great. That's good advice.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey,
appreciate it.
Great to talk to you.
I'm in Australia.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thank you, Sydney. Thanks for the tip. I'll bring back pictures from the Sydney Harbour Bridge Walk. With any luck, it won't be pictures of me falling off. I am bringing an iPhone 5. Actually, the iPhone 5 has a great camera. A lot of my pictures probably will be from an iPhone. Bringing the Galaxy Note. Bringing a Hero 3 camera, the silver, for underwater photography. And my Canon 5D Mark III. I'm going to take a lot of pictures. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'll get that ad in the next break.
Thanks, Leo.
It's raining. I know. I don't care if it's raining. I'm bringing a wrinkle. Hey, you know what? You hear me talk about all these gadgets I have, and you're probably wondering, what the hell? What? But that's my job, isn't it? And you may also be wondering, well, what do you do with the old stuff? In fact, people always say, hey, if you want to get rid of the old stuff, you can just send it to me. But no, I have a better plan because I need to sell the old stuff to pay for the new stuff. And that's why I love Gazelle. I've talked to you about Gazelle before. The Galaxy S3 has been replaced by the Galaxy Note 2, right? So I'll sell it on Gazelle. Let's see how much I can get for this Galaxy S3, Samsung. So go to gazelle.com for iPhones, a variety of cell phones, iPads, iPods, Apple computers. I have a factory unlocked Galaxy S3. It's a white 16 gigabyte. And it's in good condition. And because I ding, there's a ding or two, but it's pretty good condition. No, I have not gotten it wet. Let's see how much it's worth. Hey, that's pretty good. $241. So now that's this is the offer. Now that's good for 30 days. It does go down. These gadgets are not getting more valuable. I can tell you that right now. So go get the quote. And don't, might as well, as long as you're doing it. You got an old iPhone 4S, I do. AT&T, 64 gigs, $265. Okay, see? Now we're getting some real money here. Hey, maybe that old iPad, you want to replace that third generation iPad and get an iPad 4th, $525. So now this is almost $1,000 I got here. So I'm going to put it in the box. Now here's the beauty part. Anything over $1, they'll pay the shipping. In fact, they send you a box with everything. They pay the shipping, and then they send you a check or a PayPal credit, or, and this is my recommendation, but of course I buy a lot of stuff from Amazon, get the Amazon gift card because they bump it up 5% for the Amazon gift card. Just got the new Nano, which, by the way, Chad, I want back. Did you review it yet? Chad stole my Nano. So you want to get rid of your old one? Yeah, I got the little one. I don't need that anymore. Good condition? You bet. I hardly used it. It was in my car. Engraving? No. Well, there you go. Throw that in the box. And get the... now, this is good for 30 days. So if you haven't yet got your new iPad and you just want to keep your old one until the new one comes, that's fine. 30 days to do it. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. Gazelle.com. Gazelle.com.
Well, a good day to you, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. It's time to talk computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, MP3s, home theater, and all that jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion. 888-827-5536.
Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. Outside the U.S., use Skype. You can call. Still free. 888-827-5536. The website is techguylabs.com, techguylabs.com. That's where you'll find the phone number, if I said it too fast, because I know I did. And you'll also find a link to our chat room. Great bunch of people in there. They helped Tech Chick Lori out. It's always a good place to go. They're friendly, they're nice, they're smart. techguylabs.com. And they're from all over the world. They're from Scotland, from Ireland, from Australia, from England. Got people from all over the place. Chef says they broke the network selection menu in ICS on the Bionic. Ay, 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 ay. When they, of course, is probably not Google. It's probably either Motorola, which is Google now, isn't it? Most likely the carrier. The carriers, don't get me started. Drew in Topanga, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Drew.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. Walking out. It's so warm today. Taking the call. We're listening at the beginning of the show. A gentleman talking about, and it was skipping. And I think he didn't have anything besides the internet to try it out on. And I just wanted to say, I'm getting a very similar thing. I've got an older MacBook. One of the black ones, so 4 years old, maybe even five. And it's got 2 gigs of RAM. And I can't even play a YouTube video. And I do GarageBand, where I'm just recording a podcast, just me talking into a mic, no internet connection at all. Same symptom. It really starts to get staticky, or it skips, or it gets really... almost like you're just losing a digital connection, and I almost have to reboot just to get it to smooth out again.
And does that happen after 1 hour?
No. It happened sometime 30 seconds in.
Oh, okay. Because there's a known problem. That one of the chipsets that was commonly used in USB headsets, and we had this problem. We called it Cyloning. After an hour of use, there was some sort of weird memory leak, and it would just start to sound...
That's the sound.
Yeah, it would sound garbled. And what we would do to fix it is unplug it, and, you know, it's a USB headset, and just plug it back in. You might have to change the settings, you know, because when you unplug...
I'm not using a headset. I just talk right into the mic of the computer.
Oh, it's... Oh, I see. When you said mic, you meant the built-in mic.
Yeah, built-in mic. I have a USB mic. I did buy a Yeti.
Does it happen with a Yeti?
YouTube. It happens with all of it, yeah.
Yeah.
But even it happens in the listening part, not so much me talking, because when I'm talking, I'm not hearing anything but me.
Right.
When I do playback.
But it's recorded. It's recorded badly, or no? Is the recording also bad, or is it just the playback?
I haven't diagnosed it that far, but I'm pretty sure that the recording is fine. It's the playback.
That's interesting.
It'll garble in different places.
Well, it's a pretty old MacBook. I mean, we have one too. That black MacBook, those were nice.
The black one had double the RAM, and I actually took it into the Apple Store, and they just did a complete wipe on it for me. I just take everything, I've got it all back up. They put Lion on from scratch from one of their drives, and it was literally like factory new. I didn't have anything on there. Didn't even say restore from my Time Machine. And same problem.
I wonder if it's a hardware problem. Does it only happen with audio? Do you have any other symptoms?
Well, audio is where I mostly see it, but typically in a YouTube video is where, you know, if the kids say, hey, check out this video, and I press play, half the time we'll get about 20 seconds in and it just goes off.
It sounds to me like, what I would guess is there's a hardware problem with the sound card. You know, that's built into the motherboard on that computer, but it's there's a chip, the DSP chip, that does the sound conversion. It really does sound to me like that's messed up. And especially, it's not a driver. It's not software, since you did, in fact, do a clean install.
I take it down to the beginning. I said, I'd rather have a computer that works. I don't care if I lose, 5 years of just accumulated garbage.
No. In fact, that was a good idea. It's always a good idea. It just speeds things up. You've heard me, in fact, two or three times on the show say, do that today. But in this, and I would have said that to you, because what that does is eliminates the possibility that there's a software issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I really think it is probably the hardware, and there's, it's not something that happens often, but it can.
Yeah. Now, is that something that, they should have diagnosed at Mac, or I keep going back to Apple and say, all right, we did this.
Well, did they hear the problem? Were they able to reproduce the problem themselves?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they didn't fix it? They didn't, what did they say?
They said, you know what, it's probably something with your account is corrupted. We can either create a new user account and then don't use your main one.
That's not such a genius answer. Really.
Something just kind of clogging the work. From
well, that is it is not an unusual thing to do on any computer, but particularly on a Macintosh, to log into a different account, and not because of all the settings and stuff. But if they wiped the hard drive and did not restore your settings, then you were using a generic account. It just happens to be yours, right? They wiped everything out. They didn't restore anything, did they?
No, and we chose do not go to my Time Machine and rebuild it.
So it was like a fresh computer. It didn't. You had to create an account for yourself and all that, right?
Exactly. And then I manually pulled back my photos and manually pulled back. And I haven't even pulled everything back. I noticed the problem.
Yeah. I mean, they're giving you an answer that doesn't make any sense. An answer that makes sense in some circumstances. If you're on a Macintosh and something weird's happening, I always create a ghost account on the Mac, an unused account. Nowadays, they have a guest account, so you can use that. Log into the guest account. In fact, you could try that now. You got Lion on there. Go to the guest account. That's a clean, fresh account. It gets erased every time you log out of it. And the same thing happens?
Yeah, that's the first thing we did at the Genius.
Well then why did they say that?
Well, that was just their...
That's them punting. That's them saying, we have no idea. But the computer's old enough that it's well out of warranty, so I guess they didn't have to. What they should have said is, well, dude, I think it's the logic board. I think it's the motherboard of the laptop And that's such an expensive repair that it's not worth doing to the black MacBook.
No, it's ready at this time to buy a new one.
Yeah, I think it's time to buy a new one. Yeah. I hate to say it, but...
Can I get you to tell my wife?
What's her name?
Drew.
What's her name?
Her name is Molly.
Molly, Drew's done everything he possibly can. He's been really very frugal in this. He's really attempted to make this thing work. It's just not going to work. And if Drew is to have any success and become the next Howard Stern of podcasting, you really need to get him a new laptop.
Nice. I'll go find your PayPal button on your site. Thank you.
You know, that 13-inch MacBook Retina is looking pretty sweet right about now.
It is.
Yeah. it has to be hardware because you started fresh and there's nothing preserved from the old software. So how could it possibly be software? It has to be hardware. Honey, we need a new computer. You've been good. I mean, if you had that black MacBook for this long, that's what, 6 years, 5 years? That's a good long time. That's not a... you know, somebody's reminding me, Flash Dude in the chat reminds me that they did, I do believe they had a recall on those black MacBooks. The logic boards would get torqued. People would hold them in the corner and it would just bend the logic board just enough that it would cause some breakage. And I remember, you're right, I do believe it was the black MacBooks that they did a recall on. Maybe you go back to the Apple store and say, you know, I think the recall... recall on this one. You need to recall it. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Taking your calls, talking about tech. One of my favorite things in the world to do. Chuck on the line from Monarch Beach, California. Hi, Chuck.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad you were able to take my phone call.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your calling. It'd be kind of dull if just me talking the whole day.
Yeah.
I could do it. But probably better that we get some calls.
Oh.
I could talk for 3 hours, I think. That wouldn't be that hard.
That would be you. Okay. I'm running Windows 7.
Yes.
On a Dell T1500. And I have an ATI Fire Pro V4840 video card.
Oh, okay.
All right. And I run three monitors.
Oh, wow.
I run three 25-inch monitors off of it.
Is that for gaming, or are you a day trader?
I'm not even a day trader. I'm just an insurance broker.
You just like having lots of real estate.
I need to have a lot of real estate.
You know, my CEO, who does a lot of spreadsheets, she will not use... anything without at least two 27-inch screens. She needs all that real estate. I guess, you know, you got a lot of spreadsheets and information. It certainly makes you more productive. I'll give you that.
It's constantly open that, you know, and I'm going back and forth and back and forth. And so I need the space. And my problem is that I've got all of these cords everywhere. You just have no idea because...
Oh, I have... wait a minute. Don't sell yourself short. I have a very good idea. Have you looked under my desk? I got cords. Oh, whew.
It's crazy. So I have a great idea, and that is to just buy one, maybe two if I can work it out, big screen TVs, you know, just 50 inches. And...
yeah.
And then I would like to be able to divide them into virtual monitors.
Here's the problem. Televisions are much lower resolution than computer monitors. So just because it's a 50-inch screen, it doesn't mean you got more real estate. It's just bigger. The dots are bigger.
Okay.
Right? Because the most a TV has to do is 1,080 lines from top to bottom. That's probably less than your 25-inch monitor.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you can't, you could put four screens on there, but they'd be very fuzzy because they just don't have the resolution. TVs are lower quality display devices than your computer monitor.
Do they make giant monitors?
They do at a great cost.
Okay.
So what you would be doing, in effect, you could put your four 25-inch screens on there, but it'd be, in effect, reducing their resolution by half. Each. So they'd be very fuzzy. You couldn't read text on them, for instance.
Okay. So you can't read the text on it.
What is the resolution of one of your screens? Do you know off the top of your head?
1920, I think, is the first number.
Yeah, 1920 by 1080. That's the same as your television. So you'd be putting those 1920 by 1080. If you did one-to-one, it'd be great. You'd be able to sit farther back. But you wouldn't be able to put four on because you'd be, in effect, reducing the resolution by a quarter.
Hmm. And if you did something smaller that was still bigger than the 25-inch...
Well, you've only got the TV is the TV's roughly 1920 by 1200, just like your monitor.
Right.
So you could... I understand the idea, and this is a common mistake. I make the mistake all the time. Bigger means more resolution. It doesn't. It just means bigger. It means the dots are four times bigger on your TV. It doesn't mean that you can get four monitors on there. And you do not want to buy a 50-inch computer monitor. You can't. I don't even know. It would be a bad idea. That's why, by the way, I'm lobbying for it. I hope that the time will come in my lifetime where we'll be getting 4K screens, which are exactly enough for what you want to do, which is twice the resolution horizontally and twice the resolution vertically. Most movies are now being shot in this resolution, 4K. And if you could buy a 4K display, be just exactly what you want. You could put each one of your 1920 by 1280s on it or 1200s on it, and it'd be perfect. Unfortunately, a 50-inch 4K display is about $58,000. You know, I know this seems like a good idea just to reduce cord, though maybe not good.
Well, and then the other question on it would be if you were able to do it with, I mean, let's say the resolution wasn't a problem. When I've tried finding software to split out the screens, they don't ever seem to stay.
No.
In one.
Yeah, you need they make hardware that will do this. But it's not, you know, this is not a practical solution, not to reduce cordage. Better buy some plastic cord holders.
I have them.
I love your idea. What people usually do is they stack four computer monitors to give themselves that 4K display, right?
Yeah, you get that tree.
Yeah, that's what people do. And the reason they do that is that's the only way you can get that kind of resolution.
Okay.
We will, you know, this is coming in the next 10 years. You'll be able to. Sony has announced it's going to sell 4K TVs in the stores. I mean, the early days of plasma, they were prohibitively expensive.
I remember.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, let's see. Sony is going to sell a set that is 3840 by 2160. See, it's even still a little bit lower than you'd like. But it's more than 1920 by 1080, 3840 by 2160. They didn't say what the price will be, but you'll be able to get this. It'll be 84 inches diagonal. That's nice, big screen.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's in the $50,000 range. I would be shocked if it were much less. 84 inch TV. They showed it at CES this year.
Hmm.
I don't think that. I think I asked them, and I think they said, if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
You can't afford it. One of those things.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Can you take one more question?
Sure.
All right. My mother calls me for tech support every day.
Yeah.
Log in on our computer on LogMeIn.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of a reputable service that you can recommend where I can just say, you know, mother, pay them X number of dollars whenever you have a question, let them log in and fix whatever problem you're having?
There are people that do this. We used to have
people that are reputable.
Well, yes, right. There are some that are not reputable, like our caller from earlier. There used to be a company that advertised with us that did this, and I think they've gone out of business. It's hard to make it work. It's hard to make it profitable. The Geek Squad was the original Geek Squad, and Best Buy bought them and absorbed them. It's just difficult to make a living doing this. I don't know. Chat room, do you know of somebody in the... Where's your mom?
She's in the desert. Rancho Mirage.
Rancho Mirage. You know anybody in Rancho Mirage that does online tech support? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thanks to Kyle Benham, our musical director, for providing the tunes, spinning the discs. Kyle puts all of his songs in a playlist up on our website and his. You can follow him on Google Plus, Kyle Benham, B-E-N-H-A-M, or on Google Plus. No, I said that. Or on our website, techguylabs.com. It's part of our show notes. Everything's there, techguylabs.com. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. Chuck is in... Oh, no, we talked to Chuck, the man with many cords. Let's talk to Glenn. He's in Georgia. Hi, Glenn. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How are we doing today, man?
I am well. How are you?
Hey, does this headset sound good?
Yeah. What are you using?
Blue Parrot.
Yes.
You know, the truck driver's favorite.
Yeah, the 250 XT.
Yep, that's it. The 250 XP Plus.
Great noise cancellation. Are you driving right now?
Yes. I'm driving on I-75.
You'd never know it. That's what's so cool about this. I bought one.
It is. It's great. I mean, I've had like three different generations of this headset, and I mean, unless you've ever used it, there is nothing else better. And then the consumer, I mean, you know, they don't think about it because when you go to Best Buy, you think, oh, well, what do you got? And they don't sell these in Best Buy. So, you know, the bottom line is go to Amazon or go to a travel center. But, you know, nowadays you go to any truck stop, you're going to see, you know, 50 truck drivers all wearing these. But there's a reason why they wear them. It's because they work.
Yeah, I can't believe I hear no noise from the cab at all. No noise from the truck. It's just crystal clear. Blue Parrot.
Yes, and I hear you crystal clear, and that's what I love about
it. Amazing. It's a single ear, which, you know, but I guess you have to because you're driving. You can't have two ears. And it's not expensive, about $100. B250, and you got the. Say again.
You can normally pick them up on Amazon for maybe like $69, $70.
Oh, you're right, $70 on Amazon. Wow, that's great.
That's a deal because you get an AC charger and a DC charger.
Yep.
Anyway, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
And I have an older gateway system, and in the old days, in which I know you remember, when you used to buy the old high-end systems, they used to give you all the discs with the system.
Those are the good old days, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. But anyway, they're gone. And my problem is...
You know why
is,
they're gone, by the way? Thank Microsoft, because they decided everybody was pirating. You know, Microsoft has, from day one, been paranoid about piracy. Bill Gates actually spoke to a user group saying, you're stealing the paper tapes with BASIC on it. Stop it. And they've just got this attitude that you're stealing from them. And so they encourage dealers not to sell PCs with discs, because I guess it'd be too easy to give it to a friend. It's terrible.
Exactly.
It's terrible.
But... This is my nightmare. It's an old gateway tower game system that originally came with XP with no service packs on it, and I was going to give it to my wife's kid and just reinstall XP on it, but in the process of installing the original version of the OEM XP, it didn't have any service packs, and then you come to the realization that once you install it, everything works, but Microsoft Update.
What? And then when you, wait a minute. No, it should work.
No, it doesn't. When you Google it, it says that because of whatever changes they've done in the service packs, you cannot get Microsoft Update to work until you get Update 3 in it. So the question is how do you get Microsoft or Service Pack 3 in it? And then I also talked to a computer tech guy, and he also said, you first have to put in framework. Once you put in framework, then you got to put in Service Pack 1, Service Pack 2, and then Service Pack 3.
Yeah, you got to install them in order, but you should be able to do it. I think what you should probably do is not try to run Windows Update, but to go to the Microsoft update site and download it. You know, download it offline. It's called a network installation. It's because IT managers do it.
Right.
And they don't want to download it on each machine individually. They download one copy. I see it right here. It's 316 megabytes at Microsoft.com. I'll tell you what, we'll put this link. Thank you to the chat room. And we will put this link in the show notes. You can go there directly, download it. It should then install.
Then what about Framework? Do I still have to install Framework? What version of Framework?
It'll tell you what it doesn't, what you need that it doesn't have. I'm not sure. I think what you're talking about is the .NET framework, but I don't think it needs that. I think it will do everything for you, and if not, it will tell you, oh, here's a link. Download this first. I can't imagine what else it would need. I mean, maybe it needs .NET. You can also call Microsoft and get a CD with all the updates on it. This is doable, and it really is important because you do not want to run Windows XP unupdated on the internet. You'll get infected immediately. Now I'm looking at the chat room. They have all sorts of interesting ideas on this. Bill from Michigan, who I trust, smart guy, says a certificate update from the Flame response. This was a malware written by a government, I think our government, to infect the Iranian nuclear plants and other international bad actors. It's a virus, and it used a bug in Microsoft's Windows update to provide certificates. They looked like they came from Microsoft, but they didn't. He says this is what's blocking Windows update on older machines. So, Bill, what do you do if that's the case? It seems like this is something Microsoft absolutely must have a solution for. There is a website, I'm not sure I'm going to recommend this, called WSUSoffline.net that has offline, and as far as I know, it's legit, but I don't think it's a good idea to download updates from a third party because you just don't know. I don't know. Web 1879 said, I had the same problem, went around in circles, never was able to solve it. Bill says, manually download SP3. That should be enough. All right, well, we'll try it. If not, you might have to download SP1 and SP2. If you need the .NET framework, that's also a simple download. I don't think it should be that difficult. Microsoft understands that you cannot be using Windows XP without patching it. He's running Windows XP without any service, not SP1, Windows XP. What does he need to install? Does he need to install Service Pack 1? All right, we got a lot of links. Holy cow. A lot of links coming through the chat room. I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask James DeRuvo to make sense of this and put it in the show notes. Microsoft. Yeah, then I'm going to do not 32 ad. Microsoft says, do I need to install SP2 before installing SP3? I couldn't find Service Pack 2. No, no. Okay. You'll have to install Service Pack 1A or Service Pack 2 before you can install Service Pack 3. So I would suggest get Service Pack 2 first, all right? Service Pack 2 first, Glenn, then install Service Pack 3. We will put links to both the direct downloads of both in the show notes. I ran out of time. Kyle's going to kill me. Well, when we come back, more of your calls. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'm going to the land down under. Can't wait. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Last segment before I head out to the Great Down Under. I'll be here next week, but then the week after, it's going to be Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guru, answering your questions. Judy is in Orange County. Thank you for your patience, Judy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I think I have a simple question, but I have an iPhone 4, and the Google Maps Street View is now gone.
Yeah, you updated it to iOS 6, and Apple yanked it out of there. Yeah.
What can I do? Is there an app that I can
use? Well, did you use it for Street View? Is that what you particularly liked, or what was it that you liked? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need it for navigation really at all. I just need it for the Street View. And when I looked on some of the apps that were available on Street View, they had terrible reviews as I went through them. So I didn't know what to get.
Yeah, you know, they're going to put Google Maps. Google's going to write an app. They're writing it right now and get it back on the iPhone. So this is just a short-term glitch. What happened is Apple decided to, you know, Apple wrote that Maps app, but it was using Google data. So Apple decided to replace the Google data with their own data, which hasn't been as good, and they don't. Only Google has Street View. So when you updated to iOS 6, the old Apple Maps program, which was using Google data, disappeared, and so did Street View. But Google is writing one. They did the same thing with the YouTube app. Google got a new YouTube app in the market, and you could install it. And I would be shocked. I'm sure they're writing it as fast as their little fingers can program, because Google wants to be. It's not that Google has anything against Apple. They want to be on your iPhone. They want you to use their data. So I think it's just a matter of time. There are some third-party apps, the Live Street View app. Live Street.
Yeah, that's the one I downloaded.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I haven't tried it. I mean, I didn't try it. I read the review.
Try the free one. Try the free one. I think there's a paid and the free. And if you don't like the free, then. But like I said, this is a. I think this is a short-term problem. I'm convinced. And oh, by the way, you can always use the web version. The web version has Street View too, right? Yeah, so you can always open Safari and go to maps.google.com. It's not as it's a little clunky, but at least it gets you there.
Well, I didn't know. I've tried google.com, but I didn't know Street View. I have already on my phone, I already have Google Earth, which obviously doesn't get you close.
Right.
But
no, go to maps.google.com in your Safari. I think Google did this in response to this, frankly. They added Street View a little while ago to the web version of it.
Would you repeat that one more time?
Sure. Maps.google.com.
Maps.google.com.
Maps.google.com. Sure, Judy. Yeah, it's a, you know, Apple even had to write an apology. Actually, there's a little bit of inside baseball there. The guy in charge of iOS, his name was Scott Forstall. Buddy with Steve Jobs. Of course, Mr. Jobs passed away last year. Tim Cook now runs the company. Scott Forstall was the guy who did Siri and did the new Apple Maps. Went on stage when they announced it, said, "This is the best map program ever. It's incredible. It's amazing." And, of course, it wasn't. And the gossip, and of course, it's just gossip, but the gossip goes, and a lot of sources, including the New York Times, say this. The gossip goes that Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, was so chagrined by the people complaining about Apple's map that he asked Scott Forstall to write an apology letter that they could post on the Apple site and sign it. And Forstall said, "No way, I'm not apologizing," and promptly got fired. Tim Cook put the apology on the website and signed it. That's what a good CEO does, takes responsibility, right? And gets rid of the people who made the mistake. I guess Mr. Jobs wasn't there to protect him anymore. And anyway, it's gossip. It's fun. And I'm sure that Google will have a Maps app before the end of the year, if not sooner. David in Irvine, California. You're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, David.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. After a decade of total commitment to HTC, I've been seduced by the Samsung Note 2, and I'm waiting for it to come out next Sunday.
Are you? Whose carrier are you getting it on?
I'm getting it on Sprint.
Yeah. Yeah, Sprint's. I think Sprint will be a good one if they've got the. I don't know if they've got the LTE in your area. They're coming to my area with the LTE. I bought the unlocked version, you know, so I don't get LTE. I just am getting, 3G, but I still love it. It's huge.
The 3G down here is pretty good too.
Yeah.
At least it serves me sufficiently.
Yeah.
Well.
You know, I mean, it's great to have 20 megabits download, but it is, after all, just a phone.
No, it's not.
This is more than a phone. This is a phablet. This is a phone, 5.5-inch screen. You know, this is great. I love the Galaxy. I love the original Note. And when the Note 2 came out, I bought it immediately, even though it wasn't available in the U.S. I kind of wish I'd waited for the Sprint or the Verizon version, but that's all right. I love it.
Well,
and it still fits in your pocket, right?
It does.
Sort of.
It does. I went to a Sprint store and checked out the size. Yeah. I've got large hands, and it works just really nice.
Yeah, it's probably for us bigger guys than it is for a little petite fella.
Yeah. So my question is this. I've always used HTC Sync on my HTC phones. It lets me synchronize my contacts as well as my calendars very simply from Outlook to my phone. Samsung doesn't have the same...
No, don't use Samsung. Use Google. Use Google Calendar, Google Address Book. It's the best way to do it. If you're using an Android phone, all you do is you log on to your Google account, your Gmail account, and whoosh, all your stuff's in there. I love it. I remember the days when you get a new phone and you'd have to enter in your phone numbers by dee, 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 dee. Yeah, not
400 plus.
Right. No, 400 contacts. You're never going to do it. Just, it's going to be painful to do it once. Move everything from HTC to Google. And then from then on, you'll never have to do it again. Hey, thanks for joining me. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.